See, it's got a little skip in there, right? A little step in there. Yeah. Oh, that song got stuck in my head as we were preparing for worship last week. We meet on Mondays and talk about worship for the next Sunday, and I sat in that meeting last week, and I said, oh, I need a little more time. And then when I was sitting there thinking about worship, that song was just in my head, and I thought, oh, you know what? Chris, he led another song kind of like that the other day. I wonder if he knows this one. Because the way I sing it in my head is not a way that I would invite you to sing it out loud in a worship space. So I'm thankful that Danica was willing to try something new, and Chris and Lisa were willing to help us with that song, and it sounds like many of you know it, so I think we'll sing it again. I love that it's fast and upbeat, and I love how it invites us to know God. Our reading of Scripture this morning is from Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, I know sometimes I get moving a little fast. Help me to slow down and feel your presence in this place. Help me to set aside the tears of loss. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Well, that is the opposite of how I was hoping to feel today. Shoot. Right? Yeah. Boy, it has been a month, right? It's been about a month, give or take a little bit, since I have joined you in worship. And I haven't made you cry every week, and this week definitely wasn't in the plan. Woof. I've met with our teams a little bit longer, not much, but a little bit. And before that, I got to start thinking about what it would be to worship with you and to do life with you. I was invited to think about that. And then to get working on it, because it was almost time. Yeah. But thinking about what God has called me to do with you. Maybe not what I was excited for, or what I thought a church should do, but how God might be leading us to be God's people in this place. And throughout that time, yeah, I've cried a little, but throughout that time, I can't keep from singing. Yeah, and some days those songs sound a little more like a lament, but still my heart has been singing. And I started wondering about that. Unlike most of the things I wonder about, I didn't voice that out loud. I didn't ask someone to tell me why they thought that was happening. But for a rare time in my life, I thought about it without discussion. And any time that thought came to my mind, I let it just go. The question didn't seem to mind if it popped in or out of my life, right? And when it left, it understood. It was because it was a busy time or a noisy time, right? Or a time that I didn't have time to think about deep thoughts. Like, why can't I keep from singing? But once you get to know me more, you will understand that a month is about too long for my patience level. Yeah, I'm a little limited in the patience department. Fair warning, right? So it seemed like it was time for this endless song to start to reveal itself. You know, as a child, church was a regular part of our week. We went every Sunday, at least in my mind. I'm sure we miss some, right? Everyone does miss a few, right? But it was rare, and it wasn't excused in my mother's eyes. Church was a weekly event for us on the calendar, and it was like a gateway into Sunday afternoon, right? You go to church, and then you can get donuts, right? You go to church, and you see Grandpa and Grandma, and you invite them over for lunch, and then say, Mom, what are you making? Yeah, it was like the way we got into the fun of Sunday was first church. Yeah, and when I was real young, the church building was very close to our home, and I have a few memories of walking to church. Not a lot, because, you know, you got to get there on time, right? And sometimes it was faster to walk there than drive there, but shortly into my life, our church built a new building on the outskirts of town, right? Yeah, and my mom had calculated that the drive from our house to that new church building was 5 minutes. She was wrong. It was at least 8. Yeah, so you know what that means, right? Yeah, we always showed up a little late. Yeah, that also meant that even if we hurried or we showed up with wet hair or jeans on, right? But when we arrived, we still were going to try to get to our seat, the back pew, or as close to it as you could get. Right? My mom liked to sit in the back because she'd like to know who all was there. Yeah, and she didn't want to miss anything. And the babies sit in the back, so you have a best chance of holding a baby if you sit in the back. Yeah, there was a time when we had twin babies that would show up and their dad would carry them in their big car seats and everyone would flock to the back corner and try to take them. Yeah. Oh, I loved those babies. They're like grown adults now with their own babies. Isn't that crazy, right? And when we were there, we worshiped, I guess. I don't remember church ever using the word worship. We sat. We sang, we prayed, we listened, we got shushed, right? But I can never think of a time when someone said we came to worship. We could even draw with a pencil on our bulletin, whatever you wanted, right? And you could sit and whisper in Mom's ear as long as it was a true whisper. And you could lay your head on Mom's shoulder as long as you didn't fall asleep. But that's what we did in that building on Sunday mornings. But that building was more to us than Sunday mornings. It was the place you went for the ice cream social, where Mom said, you will carry their tray, you will follow them, you will be slow, you will be polite, and you won't get under anyone's feet, right? It's the place where we would go for Bible school, and we dress up in those costumes that hung in the back room that only came out for Bible school, right? Yeah, where we wore Mom's old prom dress and called ourselves a princess. Yeah, church was the place where you got up one Saturday morning in November really early and you rolled dough forever making pasties, right? And where Toots brought the best bars, so you wanted to get on snack break first. Yeah, church was a lot of things. That building was an extension of my family. Those people were an extension of my family. And fair to say, a lot of them were actually family too. And in fairness, I must admit, I probably recognize how they are family much more after being there than I did when I was there. In the times of my life where I've been invited to investigate my feelings or my calling or to reflect on my faith story, often the names of those who worshiped with us came to mind, because those were the people who cared for me in that space and out there. If I ran into one of those people out there, they still knew my name, and they loved on me, and they supported me when I thought I was called to be a missionary, right? Some wrote checks, others wrote letters. Gosh, remember the days of real letters in the mail? Yeah, wow. I have many notes of encouragement saying, yes, listen to the way God has called you. And they're all written by the old people from church, right? Some of those old people from church are still around and they still say, I am thankful for the way that God has called you to serve. I knew from those people and from that place that I was always safe there, that I am loved, and that Jesus knew me. As I think about the songs that we would sing and the rock that I'm clinging to, I realize that there is music in my head and in my heart because I have always heard it and I've always been encouraged to sing. Sing along, they'd say. Worship for me has never really been a head thing. The head's included because you can't leave it out, right? It's part of like Father Abraham, right? You got to shake your head, right? But for me, it's never been a head thing. It's been a full body affair. Because the words and the actions, they've been there as we sing the songs of love and hear the songs of love. I've been singing, and I think this is why, because I got the music in me, right? Yeah, you know that one, right? You don't stop now, yeah? You only get what you give. Yeah, New Radicals, look it up. They sing it much better. Right? So as I came to the bulletin title for our sermon this morning that said a new song, which by the way, earlier in the week it said, I have it. Earlier in the week it said, how can I keep from singing? And I crossed it out and wrote a new song. And I realized the sermon title is probably more accurate if you would have left that in the crossed out version with the new song behind it, right? Because the only way that I can sing this new song that God is singing with me is if I remember that I cannot keep from singing. And yet I wonder if the words to our new song will only come after we wander for 40 years together, right? Like the Israelites. Boy, I don't have that kind of patience. Probably eat my own foot before then, right? I wonder if that song, this new song that God is singing in me and with you, I wonder if it'll come only after we have to defend our faith to others, like Job did, right? Or if we'll have to sit in sackcloth and ashes, like he did. I wonder how many times we'll have to sit Shiva or mourning time together as those we love pass away before we'll know the song of our hearts. I wonder if during this time that we're learning our song, if we happen to run like Mary did to Elizabeth, if we'll find someone as loving and caring and full of grace as Elizabeth was for Mary, if we'll find that for ourselves during this seeking of a new song. But I guess none of that really matters unless we believe in God. All of those songs are just songs unless we believe in the truth of our faith. Otherwise, we're just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I have to tell you that out of deep honesty that I was really hoping that by today I would have at least the first verse or the chorus figured out for this new song. Yeah. I was hoping that some of those lyrics would have come in or at least a touch of the melody. Which one am I going to steal from, right, to hear the right song, right? I know that we're still going to hear other songs that are going to inspire us, but I've been wondering which one is going to be the catalyst for our top 10 single, right? You know, this time of year, this end of August, beginning of September time, seems to be like this natural starting over point, right? We get to start the school year over. Many programs are starting again. Groups are getting rolling. It's true for us here at church, too. We talk about it quite a bit. In fact, we have Rally Sunday on the calendar, and I'm very excited because it includes a potluck. One of my friends, their family always called it a pot bless instead of a potluck, because she said, there's no luck about it. Bless what I have made, dear God. Yeah. But those of us who desire to be in community, to love and serve God, have taken some time out sometimes. We all do, and that's okay. But as fall approaches, we start to come out of the water and off the water, right, and back, hopefully not dripping wet, but back into church. And back into digging deeper into this understanding of who God is and who God calls us to be. And who is that? Maybe some of you know. You've maybe like read the grand vision plan and you've got it all figured out, right, for Crossroads. Some of you have been here a long time and you know where you've been and you know what kind of direction that kind of points us. And I'm new, so I'm still catching up on some of those head parts. And I'm new, so I'm still catching up on some of the heart parts of what brings us together. And I'm new, so I'm still trying to figure out the best way to be here and when 113 will finally be open so I can try that route. I hear it's the best. Yeah. I tried it a while back. Wrong idea. Whew. Yeah. Yeah. But I want to hear that song of love that God will sing and has sung in this place. I was told by a pastor, one who thinks he's very funny, I was told that each pastor preaches on only three things every Sunday, no matter the scripture, no matter the focus, no matter how good the ministry team plans for them, their message always comes back to one of three things. And those three things aren't the same for each pastor, but each pastor has their three things. So here's one of my three. Love. If you ever leave here on a Sunday morning, or any other day for that matter, and you do not feel loved by God, then we've got work to do. Because this is a place where you should feel loved. If you're a hugger, get your hugs. If you're not, say no thanks, right? Yeah. But you should feel loved. And you should know that God loves you. Because for me, being a beloved child of God is what brings me back to this place. It's what grounds me. It's what makes me tick or talk or whatever that is kids are doing these days, right? Knowing that God loves me means that my heart will sing the songs of faith. And I know that when I get out of bed tomorrow or the next day and face a difficult day, that I can do that because I am loved by God. I know that I can stand here with all of you, right? Imperfect, yet robed, yet naked before God. Ooh, that sounds funny. That was better at writing. But but I can stand here with you, right, before God because I am loved. And my hope is that in all of my actions that I do, that I can share that love with God's people. And I can be sure that they know that they too are loved. So that you, like me, when you lie down or when you get up or when you walk or when you run, whoever you might be that runs, right, that you know that you are beautifully and wonderfully made in the image of your Creator by a God who cares for you, for you. I feel like I've been called to a couple different vocations. God has called me to one, lead and work in the church, but also called to the vocation of motherhood, which includes for me being a wife. And that my best way to honor the way that God has loved me is to honor those two calls of vocation, to love people that God has put in my life, to love on them and with them, and to make sure they experience God's love. I believe that I should love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. And that's not only the first commandment, but that is the biggest. Because until I can do that, I can't love my neighbor as myself. I can't honor my father and mother or keep from lying or stealing or coveting. Ooh, that's still a hard one, right? I love your blue truck. Yeah. Currently in the coveting of really cool cars, like Ford F-150 quad cabs, if I were to get specific. And I thought I liked a Maverick, but they look really small on the road, so I think I'm over that. Yeah. But I can't even get past any of that until I accept that I am loved by God, and I am accepted by God. So by the time we part ways someday, it might sound like a broken record. But I hope that I say to you, and you hear it enough, that you are loved. That God loves you the way you are. And that through all the challenges and through all the beauty of life, that God wants to be with you. That through Jesus' teachings, we can not only know that we are loved, but we can share it with others. I can't sing a new song until I've shared with you why the old songs are there. Thank you for letting me do that today. I'm hoping that they can lend us one of their rhythms or one of their beats or maybe even a chorus, right? Because I think God is preparing in me and preparing in you for a new song here at Crossroads. I was thinking about what God might have planted in you, and I know we're no longer, you know, you are the seed, right? But Michael W. Smith talks about packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, my 13-year-old version of Michael W. Smith blaring at us, right? But I keep thinking about what God has planted in you, right? And what's going to grow of it, or what has grown of it that I haven't gotten to see yet? Is there something that God desires for us to share, a faith gift that you have, that you could share with this community or the world? So yeah, summer's not over. Take some more time to play. Please take time to play. I'm going to take time to play, right? Yeah, play a little bit, but consider how you can lend your voice or your heart or your ears to those who need to know that God loves them. Because some people have never heard that, and some people are yet to believe it. So let's help do that as God's people. I hope you'll do that with me. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.